Well, I feel a sense of gratitude on this November 11th, this Veterans Day, this Sunday post-election, where I could be standing behind this pulpit praying a prayer that I would have had a really hard time composing. I just feel like, phew, I dodged a tomato. I will tell you that late Tuesday night, my husband and I together shed a few tears of joy and relief, and we had a great embrace. That isn't something that we usually do on a Tuesday night. We just, you know, I mean, we sit there and we'll, you know, watch TV or I'm on my computer or something, but we stayed up late and we were just really happy about a number of things that night. I will say right here that our president is one that I feel like I can trust, having worked through some very difficult years, and I feel that he will continue to earn my trust. No, I mean, just hear me. It's kind of hard to say this in a non-political way, but I want to just say that in imagining the alternative for me, I was holding back an incredible sense of doom. As a universalist minister, so if you're new here, that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, you know, when we believe that all will be reconciled, but I had this impending sense, and I think that God would have had a harder job. And let me say that today's prayer right here and now is filled, one that's filled with hope and gratitude and amens. So you, but you might recall the last presidential election. I don't know. I mean, these things I forget very quickly. And many were overwhelmed with this sense. I remember watching TV and seeing Oprah or something and with tears and this sense of gladness at that historical moment. And California had just passed Proposition 8, the state constitutional amendment that eliminated the rights of same-sex couples to marry. So now the country, through the voters, is moving closer to marriage equality. The four states where it was on the ballot all took steps for marriage rights for LGBTQ people. The country also elected a wonderful amount of women and minorities. Did you notice that? Yes. I mean, so I say the great long arc of the universe just took a bend toward justice. But we're not finished. The wealth disparity in this nation I'm not going to preach here. I'm introducing Sarah and Ralph. The wealth disparity, this is the part where they're just going to nod. The wealth disparity in this nation has only grown larger. Let these election outcomes be the mana that we needed to fuel the work ahead. One of the things I love about the idea of the welcome table is that it reminds me to first ask the question, whose table is it? Is this the table that belongs to me, where I invite people of my own choosing, those of a particular style or compatibility or political party? Or is this the kind of table that belongs to everyone, regardless of style or class or wealth? Is this place here the sacred place? Or is it all of the community? Is the holy ground only the place where the bush is not consumed? Or is it in the middle of the city of Hayward? So today, let me introduce, we have invited to speak to us two of our dedicated staff people from two of the programs of South Hayward Parish. South Hayward Parish is not an organization in the community that is outside of us. It is an organization that exists in great part due to this congregation and a few dedicated others. It's in existence in a great part due to us. And I have to stress us today to let you know that we're not just one of a gazillion. No, we're one of a few dedicated congregations. while Sarah and Ralph share with you some of what is going on in the parish, which is our community, I invite you to consider how you might become more engaged. So first, I'd like to introduce and welcome Sarah Lamnin.
Good morning. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here today and for all that this congregation has done to make sure that South Hayward Parish continues. I love living in Hayward as I drive in, and there are signs that say, "No room for racism," that came out of the work of members of this congregation as part of South Hayward Parish, which was formed in 1964 when a few small congregations said, "We really want to do big things. Our community needs us, and we need to do more. How do we do that? Well, we can't do it alone. We need to do it together." And so those three congregations formed a separate nonprofit called South Hayward Parish. And in that time, they started a child care program, which was temporarily housed at South Hayward Parish for 30 years, temporarily. Brought counseling programs, brought rent control, made sure there were safe places for children to play, an inclusive community for everybody to work, and opportunities for people to build self-sufficiency. The newest program, since we were here last year, is called the Family Resource Collective, meaning that everybody brings what they have, very much a stone soup kind of idea. Immigration services, healthcare services, family resource, case management, et cetera, food, of course. All come together in a place that doesn't take any more resources than already were there. If you're doing this outreach for veterans, come do it in our place, because this is a place where people walk to get to services. They don't necessarily drive, and public transit is a little challenging to manage. Imagine if you, well, we have a veteran who the federal government has said, we will house all veterans in 5 years, and they're actually putting funds to that, so there are more housing opportunities today for veterans than there have been in a long time. That's very exciting. And so the person learns about that through Hayward Can, the program that I work with, or our Family Resource Collective, or perhaps in a conversation at the food pantry. And now they say, "Ah, I could go get housed. Okay, what do I need to do?" Well, there's a phone call that happens and maybe a meeting that happens at one of those places that they already know, and eventually they need to go to Oakland. Except it's not that office, it's this other office. And wait, oh wait, it's this other office still. And did you bring that paperwork with you? Now, did I mention that the person's been sleeping outside, and lo and behold, it rained last night. So that paper, where did I put that? What happened? I mean, I can't keep track of my keys, and I have a house. You know, where, how do you keep track of your life when your life is in disarray? How do you make sure that you get from here to there when you don't have a car? So the obstacles to becoming self-sufficient are not as simple as getting into a house or getting a piece of food, etc. There is much work to be done, and that is what South Hayward does. And we find that it's not insurmountable. The Hayward Community Action Network, which is the program that I work with, works to end homelessness, to develop sustainable solutions to end homelessness in Hayward. And in the 3 years since we've existed, we've had about 30 people move along the path to self-sufficiency. In the last 4 months, we had four people move into housing. Two of them now have jobs. Actually, sorry, five people. My math is off this morning. Two of them now have jobs. One of them got hired to be an assistant manager at the place where he's living. The other one's doing caretaking and is therefore housed as well. Two people who were certain that nothing could ever be different for them, that housing was unobtainable. I might as well keep drinking, might as well keep smoking. Nothing's ever going to change. I'm not old enough. I'm not sick enough. I don't have children. I don't qualify for any of these programs. And this couple found each other and are now housed and have been sober and doing really, really well for about 4 months now, and should be permanently housed by the end of the year. And so, while it feels insurmountable, it isn't. Together we do great things. We change the systems that say you can't get housing if you don't have a job, and you can't get a job if you don't have housing. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, we give people the opportunity to know that it can, in fact, be different. Our jewelry making and art making program, people who thought, "I have nothing to give," are finding that they not only have something to make, to create some beauty in the world, but to show their own value and to help each other raise funds for the program and take care of themselves. Simple things like having a phone or storage that you can't do if you're working, that you can't not have and be able to go to work or find a job or get housing and so on. And so I urge you to find out more about our program. I'm going to yield so that you can learn more about our food pantry and other aspects of our program.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's nice to be back here again. I saw Keith Lewis, who gave me my start in the nonprofit world in 1989. Thank you, Keith. I think. You know, it's like, used to vote here when you had this as a polling place, so been here, done that. And I have something to say, and it's challenging, and I always believe the glass is half full and it's clean and it's going to keep filling up. And yet I find myself taking a little bit of concern. And it has to do with the election. I think it was, and again, I was asleep in 1969 taking philosophy class. It was either Rousseau or Voltaire said, it doesn't matter who lives in the castle, the serfs still go hungry.
Mm-hmm.
To paraphrase it, who was it, by the way? So I can't find it on the internet. I need to know that which author, maybe someone else. But to paraphrase it, it doesn't matter who's in the White House, the poor still go hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Example. And again, I thank you for all you've done. Last year at this time, we were on pace for fiscal year 2011-2012. We did 252,637 meals.
Mm-hmm.
We give people food every week for 3 days, so that's 9 meals. So multiply the number of people by 9, that's how we get to that figure. Through October 31st of this fiscal year, 2012-2013, we are at 160,000 meals. Now, I majored in philosophy at one time, sociology, and finally political science. I'm not really good at this number, but I think we're going to hit over 440,000 meals this fiscal year. And yet, our federal money was cut like 15%, our city money 20%, or vice versa. The only reason we are making it because a congregation like yours. So again, thank you. I hope you get tired of hearing that because I am sincere. Thank you for the gentlemen who bring in the canned goods and the dry cereal and for the people who bring in a dozen eggs, 2 dozen eggs, 5 tomatoes, whatever, because believe me, it's out the same day.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody once asked, he said, as a Catholic, you guys don't say you're blessed. And I said, yeah, that's true. Why? I don't know. But we are all blessed because every day we have enough. Again, last year at this time, we were a good day, a busy day, was 45 to 60 households. Households are 1 to 13 people. Up until this week we only did 70 households a day. The week before, for 5 straight days, we were over 100 households. Last year at this time, our record number of households for one day was like 62. The record is now for one day and 2.5 hours, 122 households. That was 450 people. Again, thank you on behalf of all the people who get the food because of people like you. What are we doing? You know, we've been trained to be, we need to be more fresh produce. The food bank provides most of it. And so this week people had potatoes, onions. We had cauliflower, we had broccoli, we had lots of carrots, we had packaged shredded lettuce, packaged shredded cabbage, we had some oranges, some apples, and a huge assortment of canned goods. We had whole wheat pasta, whole wheat spaghetti, as well as white rice, dry beans, canned beans, chicken drumsticks from the food bank. Chipotle restaurant gives us their leftover food 3 times a week, so we had that. We had, you know, other stuff. I mean, it just goes on and on. And yet yesterday when I went in to check, there were probably, I'm going to say, 15 loaves of bread or half loaves of bread from Trader Joe's, Panera's. The refrigerator is empty. The potatoes, maybe there's 20 left. That's it. And we had probably 1.5 tons of produce on Wednesday delivered. So are we blessed? I mean, yeah, there's no doubt. Lucky, whatever you want to call it. I don't have time to debate that. All I know is that on Tuesday at 3 o'clock, we will have probably 70 to 100 households coming for food. And the interesting thing is we have just about enough volunteers. And I say that kind of hesitantly because next week someone will graduate from college. Lo and behold, someone gets a job, they leave us. These things happen. But what we really need is direction. Sarah and I have a few good ideas left in our brain. We don't have a lot of time. What we need are board members, people who will be on advisory boards once a month, twice a month, and provide that direction that a board needs to provide. Because I tell you, when you're there in the trenches, it's really hard to flip over and start looking at long-term policy as much as it's needed. And that's a board function. To continue to grow and to meet the demand we have, we need that kind of input too. So if you have the time, the patience, some experience, the wisdom, or want to learn, you know, talk to somebody here. Talk to Betty DeForest, our executive director, because we need, as much as we need the food, if we don't start looking, and again, we call this upstream, why are people needing that? How do we keep getting that? We're taking the bodies out of the river pretty quick, and we're feeding them and getting them housing as best we can, but it's just growing and growing. Again, we have, I think, three households, that have 13 people in them. Every time a foster child ages out at 18, boom, they're on the doorstep. We got Chabot College basketball players from out of the area who don't have any financial assistance. They don't have scholarships for junior college. They're working, and we're giving them food. We have a nurse, a nurse's aide, an accountant, a union carpenter, these kind of people coming in who need help. Dads who were working 40 hours who are now down to 20 hours a week and can't feed people, so they're in, and they leave. I still get people asking me, how many people come in Mercedes or Cadillacs? Take a deep breath. Okay, that's like, and I said, you know, I'm too busy to notice that. And as good as our food I don't think that's why most of them come, but I could count usually every day if we have 100 people coming in for their households, we probably get 10 or 20 people say, don't give me quite as much because I think someone else needs it more. Mm-hmm. Well, that's overwhelming. So it's like, that's our reward. You know, that's the reward. That's what keeps me going. By the way, when I leave here, and I keep looking at my watch, I got to leave here by 11:30 because before I got here this morning, I got a call from Target, one of our donors. If you go to shop at Target on Whipple Road or Bayfair, they donate food. Mm-hmm. We're talking pallet loads of stuff. Anything from eggs that one's missing or broken to cereal. None of it's outdated. Very little of it's dented. So that's where we got to go. So we have that that not covered completely. Keep giving. But start thinking how you can do that. A new idea, an old idea, because we need it all. We're in this together. Life is still good. The glass is still full or half full, but we're getting a lot more people who need to drink out of it. So thank you again from the bottom of my heart, from the people who keep saying, how do you get all this? And then, in fact, this week, somebody from this congregation, I said, guys like that, they're all like, oh, thank you. It's really good. So come down sometime. If I sound crabby on the phone, it's only because I'm moving potatoes or onions. Because someone didn't show up or we're just behind schedule, but it's fun, it's fulfilling. But again, check with our board members, and doing that type of work too is needed and very fulfilling to keep us going. Thank you.
So as Ralph said, the most essential opportunity for engagement comes from being willing to represent this congregation on the South Hayward Parish Board of Directors. Right now, that is really how we need your help. There may be other opportunities to volunteer, and we can figure some of those out, but before this can happen, we need a few people to be able to organize those folks and to keep this congregation informed so that you don't kind of wonder what South Hayward Parish is and what's going on. So if you consider this important to the Stark King Church health and to the community that we try to create, I invite you to let me know. Please let me know. And if you let me know today, that would be really great because Betty actually asked me something that I can't do, and the urgency is now. In Years past, our church member, Barbara Storms, was a dedicated representative to South Hayward Parish. We lost her dedication when she and her partner, Sarah Gonzalez, moved to Palm Springs to retire. Then last year, you may recall, our dear member, Meg Jurich, joined the board, the South Hayward Parish Board, and she lent her strength and commitment to the board. Then, tragically, we lost Meg to illness earlier this year. In recent weeks, our food contributions have been transported by Matt Choi, a young adult here who has been away from the congregation because of family illnesses. And longtime activists Jim Forsyth and Sylvia Brandon Perez continue to advocate for many of the issues, but Star King Church could be better represented with the help of some new vitality and some communication. So much possibility. The ground where you stand is holy ground. Our table is a welcome table, and we are the ones we've been waiting for. The next 4 years are here right now, ready for us to rise up. May it be so. Amen. And blessed be. That your best is good enough, the Lord will do the rest. You raise your children and you teach them to walk straight and sure. You pray that hard times come no more. You try to sleep and you turn, the bottom's dropping out. Where you once had faith, now there's only doubt. You pray for guidance, only silence now meets your prayers. The morning breaks, you awake, but no one's there.